Steve in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Hey. You are on with your what do you call it when someone shares a state with you? Your compadre? No, your fellow statesman.
All I got to say, Si, is Steve is only 50 minutes away from where I grew up in southern Louisiana. So welcome, Steve.
Well, thank you very much, Carlo. And the first thing I have to ask you is, are they forcing you to take voice lessons?
I know Steve sounds so much more authentically Louisiana than you do, Carlo.
Steve Si has the Lake Charles accent.
Oh, he's got, okay.
It's different than the Gaydon accent or the Crowley accent, right, Steve?
That's right. That's exactly right. But I've noticed, Carlo, that sometimes when you say the word S-O-U-L, you actually pronounce the L now.
You know what, Steve? I must admit, I've had to work on my accent, brother. And anybody in the office will tell you, I'm still at it.
Have either of you ever eaten an alligator? Have you ever eaten an alligator?
Yes, we have, and it's sausage bon, right, Steve?
Yeah. Oh, you have. Okay, all right.
That's right. But I still prefer smoked boudin.
Amen to that. Okay.
All right, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Steve, what's your question for Carlo?
Okay, I often get into conversations, we'll call it that, with Protestants about this subject, and one of their first arguments is that we have no proof that the saints even know what's going on in our lives.
Okay.
And as a proof text for that, I often use 1 Samuel 15-19, where Samuel and Saul have a conversation, and Samuel is fully aware of everything that's been going on with Saul, and he is also fully aware of what God is fixing to do to Saul and his sons the next day.
Right.
However, when I use that proof text,
it's the dangerous
one. Everything goes crazy because you can't use that because Saul conjured up Samuel, and that's you can't do that. But for me, it seems like a valid argument that even though he was conjured up, Samuel still knew everything that was going on. And I was wondering if you had some advice for me and how to use this proof text in a way that doesn't produce that argument.
Right.
Or might defeat it.
That's right. Well, Steve, first of all, you're right in looking at this passage in order to conclude that Saul is aware of what's going on earth. However, as you mentioned, it's dangerous territory because what Saul does is necromancy. He's guilty of the sin of necromancy, which is condemned in Deuteronomy chapter 18, which has to do with conjuring up the spirits of those deceased through mediums in order to elicit certain secret knowledge that would belong to God alone, trying the attempt to be God-like apart from God. So it's kind of a two-edged sword. I mean, you might be able to get away with showing, hey, Samuel is aware of what's going on in this life, but at the same time, what Saul is doing is problematic. He's communicating with Samuel in a way contrary to God's design. So in a dialogue, I would initially stay away from that passage in order to prove my point. I perhaps maybe would use it and bring it up later on down the road to sort of put the nail in the coffin once you've established all of the groundwork. Now, that brings up the next question, Steve. Well, what are some good passages that you could refer to? Well, for example, you can look at in the New Testament in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, we read about the 24 elders that are surrounding the throne of the Lamb, and they're offering up the incense, which are, according to John, the prayers of the saints. And the saints refers to the Christians on earth. So that indicates to us that these 24 elders, human beings in heaven, are aware of what's going on the earth. They're lifting up the prayers of those Christians on earth. So that indicates they are aware of what's going on. Now, Steve, just a little note here. There's something to be distinguished between these human souls in heaven in the New Testament and Samuel in the Old. In the Old Testament righteous souls dwelling in Sheol, which is the Hebrew word for the abode of the afterlife, they would not have the beatific vision. So there was, in the Old Testament, a lack of understanding of what goes on in this life by the souls existing in the afterlife, the righteous souls. Samuel would have had knowledge of what's going on in Saul's life and everything about the about God's people by a special intervention of God, a special grace that God would have given him to have that knowledge. But in the New Testament, the souls enter into the beatific vision, and they receive power through that vision in order to know and be aware of what's taking place in our lives, as indicated, as I mentioned earlier, in Hebrews 12:1. A cloud of witnesses. Therein again, Steve, is another great example that you can turn to. Hebrews 12:1. A cloud of great witnesses witnessing our race of salvation. They are aware of what's going on in our lives on this earth. So is that helpful to you?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I've kind of figured out the first part myself, though. I tend to stay away from it.
Right.
It causes
right.
a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I was just hoping for some advice and maybe how I could use it. Some.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it's a two-edged sword, man. You might better cut it one way, but it's going to cut back the other way. You know, in another text, Cy, that just came to me, and even in the Old Testament, this is interesting, and it has to do with the intercession of the saints. In Jeremiah 15:1-2, Steve, you might want to make a note of this. We read about how Moses and Samuel, and since we're talking about Samuel here, and by the way, for our listeners, the passage that Steve is referring to where Saul conjures up Samuel's 1 Samuel chapter 28. But in Jeremiah 15:1-2, Moses and Samuel stood before the Lord and they were interceding before God on behalf of the people of Israel. And God, of course, we read that God didn't answer their requests to not bring judgment on the people of Israel. But we do see that Moses and Samuel are interceding before God on the behalf of the Israelites, which implies that they are aware of what's going on in the history of the Israelites. So we have an Old Testament example of the deceased, the righteous deceased, that is, praying for God's people on earth. So we have both old and new as a biblical foundation for our Catholic understanding that those who go before us, the righteous souls who go before us, intercede for us, which implies they're aware of what's going on in our lives.